It's the Reality TV Happy Hour with Jordan Parhar, because you can't spell Parhar without R-H-A-P. Reality TV Happy Hour. Reality TV Happy Hour.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to another edition of the Reality TV Happy Hour. My name is Jordan Parhar, and today we've got a very fun podcast scheduled for you. We are going to be talking about the funniest Julie Chen moments of all time with somebody we've never had on the podcast before, but somebody who definitely is familiar with Big Brother, is a huge fan of it, just like I am. You know him from the Survivor Historians and The Tribe and his other Survivor podcasting. It's Paul Osselson, ladies and gentlemen. Paul, how are you?
Hey, Jordan, I'm great. And I'm kind of offended that you're billing this as just a fun podcast. You don't think this is going to be like super analytical, you know, really? I'm like the new Taryn here, really going to break down the moves of Julie Chen over the past however many years.
Okay. Well, you know, there's only one Taryn, Paul. So
I'm not going to compete with that. I got to go my own route here.
Right. So the fun path will be for you, and we'll have a great time. I think this is going to be a really fun show. So just to let you guys know, Paul has set up, he's pulled clips, in his opinion, the top 15 funniest Julie Chen moments of all time, covering lots of stuff. I have no idea what the list is, so I'm just along for the ride with you guys. Paul sent me an email saying, hey, do you want to do this podcast? I thought it was a great idea. So I'm really excited to get into it. Paul, just so for people who don't know you, do you want to just talk a little bit about what you do, with your Survivor podcasting and then also your experience with Big Brother?
Sure. Yeah. Well, like, as you mentioned, I'm on two Survivor podcasts, actually. One is called The Tribe, a Survivor podcast, and started podcasting about Survivor back around the time of Heroes versus Villains. And that kind of led into my work with Survivor Historians, with Mario Lanza, Jay Fisher, and a little guy named Mike Bloom, who I always say Mike Bloom's rise to fame in the podcasting community was due in large part to me, because it was my absence in The Historians, when I took a year off while living abroad, that Mario and Jay looked for a replacement co-host. They found this guy named Mike Bloom to come on the podcast. And in that same year, all of a sudden, he blows up on RHAP, and now he is Mike Bloom. And here I am doing this little gig talking about Julie Chen on the Happy Hour. So you're welcome, Mike. Cheers to you.
Yeah, see, if Mike Bloom never was a thing, Paul, you could have been the co-host of the Celebrity Apprentice podcast with Rob.
I know, what could have been.
Right, Top Chef, RuPaul's Drag Race. I mean, there's so many different things you could be doing, Paul. It's really, I'm terribly sorry.
It's a good thing I like Mike, otherwise otherwise I would be probably pretty bitter about this.
Well, on behalf of the people who love Mike Bloom, thank you for helping give us Mike Bloom, Paul, because he's
You're
great.
Welcome.
And I'm sure if, you know, you don't like Mike Bloom, the two of you out there, you can blame Paul. So there you go. Now, with your experience with Big Brother, Paul, like, how long have you been watching it? Like, have you seen all the seasons? Like, what's your fandom with it?
Yeah, well, obviously everyone knows about people who do know me know about my Survivor work, but my second favorite show for the longest time has been Big Brother. I started watching in season two, and especially those early seasons of Big Brother, especially season three, season five, season six, season seven, season eight, I know very, very, very well. I've seen many, many times. So in a lot of ways, I would consider myself a Big Brother historian in those aspects. And I've seen every episode since then. I never got too big into the live feeds. There were a few seasons in there that I did kind of get into feed watching when I was, I don't know, in high school or college maybe. But now that I'm a little bit busier in my life, I don't have time to do that. That's why I listen to the Happy Hour.
There you go, right? And that's, that's what we're for. So that's awesome.
That's great. I don't have to actually watch boring feeds all the time. I can just listen to right? You talk for like, you know, once a week, and I get my fill and I move on. So that's great for me. But I love Big Brother. I loved it for a long time. And when I talk about Survivor, there is a lot of nostalgia I have for early seasons of Survivor, just like I have for early seasons of Big Brother. And so a lot of what I'll be talking about Julie Chen here does have to do with what kind of stems from her early seasons, because I've been a huge fan of her from the very beginning.
Now, Paul, why do you love Julie Chen so much? Because you watch Survivor, you see Jeff Probst. Jeff Probst is, you know, I think a lot of people
same type of
say,
host,
right?
Same type of
so
right? Female Jeff Probst. They just, you know, they really just pulled the female Jeff Probst and dropped her on Big Brother. Yeah. It's hard for me to describe my love for Julie Chen, and part of it also comes from, and I'll give credit right away before I forget. So some of the people that I owe credit to this podcast to are my wife, Alice, her sister, Martha, and my brother, Darren, because they're all Big Brother fans and is starting at different points in time, but they all have come to appreciate the love of Julie Chen. I like to think through me pointing out so many great things that Julie Chen does, that I've had so many jokes about Julie Chen over the years. It's kind of hard to sum up why she's so great. And I'm hoping that through the podcast, you'll really see what I mean by this. Obviously, the number one thing I think about Julie Chen that makes her such a great host and so fun to watch is the awkwardness. I mean, would you not agree that Julie Chen is awkward?
Oh, yeah, of course. I mean, she's the Chen bot, Paul.
Yes, great. Which we're going to dive into a lot of that stuff here too. So that's forefront. The fact that she's awkward, I think, and has been awkward for so long is like just part of who she is and who she is as a host. And then also, I think a lot of times she's unintentionally funny. I mean, some of that stems from the awkwardness, but she does so many things where she's not trying to be funny, but she just comes like just has us just laughing about all the mishaps and things like that. So there's a lot of unintentional funny when it comes to Julie Chen.
Yeah, no, it's Julie is really a very interesting host. I think she's really evolved over the years. Like, I feel like we could do like almost the evolution of hosting of Julie Chen.
Hey,
don't
spoil December 2017's podcast, please.
Okay, sorry.
Let's not dive into that too much.
Okay, sorry. I'll edit that part out, Paul. Sorry. but yeah, I mean, it's so for me, it's same with Jeff Probst and same with a lot of hosts, especially, you know, when you host for as long as they do. But I mean, especially Julie, it's really been fascinating to see. You know, you're talking about, you know, season 3 and 4 or 5, like those early seasons of Big Brother. Even then, like every year Julie would slightly change, but if you look at like Big Brother 2000 to Big Brother, you know, 18 or you know or OTT, it's really cool to see. And the great thing though is I think the whole time Julie, you know, I think at the beginning, I think Julie was somebody who you thought, oh, okay, this person takes himself too seriously. But I think now Julie is somebody who, you know, she's willing to make fun of herself too, which I think is great.
Right. That was my point number 4, that part of it is, and I'll share some of this a little bit, you know, going into this, is that she's in on the joke now. She embraces it. She laughs at it. So that makes it really fun too. And then the other point about Julie Chen that makes her so funny is that when she actually tries to be funny, like then it's kind of cringeworthy and like makes it even more awkward. So it kind of always loops back to that awkwardness. But I was going to echo what you were saying about how she's evolved on the show as a host. She's also evolved with her career, that when, you know, she first came on Big Brother at that time, she was doing the news desk for the early show or CBS This Morning, or it's gone through so many different names, where she was just very like stone faced, very, you know, just read the news every day, same way. And even though we still have elements of that, she's evolved, and you know, she became an anchor on the early show. She became in 2010. She's on The Talk now, this kind of CBS ripoff of The View, where she gets to be goofier. And I want to be specific here. This is the top 15 funniest moments for Julie Chen on Big Brother, because I think there could be a whole other podcast about outside of Big Brother, just of clips I found on YouTube of her on The Talk riding a camel, talking about her polygamous grandfather. There's just really a lot of material that I don't want to exclude, that this is just Big Brother. So eventually we can talk about all those other great things.
Wait. Okay, so Julie Chen has a polygamous grandfather?
You didn't know that? It's a big secret. On one time on The Talk, they each revealed one secret, and she tells the secret, and she's so serious about it, like she's about to cry, and she says, "My grandfather was a polygamist," and the crowd goes, and she just tells the story about her grandfather in rural China having, like, I don't know, it was not even like a crazy, crazy polygamist, like had like, I don't know, a handful of wives and had like 15 kids, and the audience goes, and it's just, and she acts like it's this big secret. So there's Julie Chen is just great every aspect, not just on Big Brother, but for the purposes of getting through this podcast, we'll stick to Julie Chen's funniest moments on Big Brother.
Okay, okay. So sounds good. Yeah, I would be curious to see how the overlap would be if we included everything.
Right, it'd be a long list, Jordan. We don't think we have time for that.
No, we don't. We're not going to be doing it. Hopefully, not doing a 3-hour podcast today, Paul. Maybe. Now, I say this now. Every time I say, "Oh, this will be a short podcast," or whatever, it ends up going like twice as long as I expect.
I know. I'm still not through that that 90 Day Fiance. I don't even watch that show. I started that one, but you guys talked about that for way too long, so I had to take a break during that one. But I'll get back to that one eventually. But before I want to talk about the criteria a little bit about my countdown. But before I did that, I wanted to play one of my points here about Julie Chen. You know, her being so great is that when she tries to be funny, how awkward it is. And I pulled a clip from during I think this is around Big Brother 13. She comes on David Letterman to do his top 10, and she does the top 10 reasons why you should be watching Big Brother. And during this whole countdown, she tries to be funny, and it is so painful. She just misses every, like, she, let me, let's speak for itself. I'm not going to play the full list. I'm going to start at the introduction, and we'll get through about two or three of them, and then I'll stop it, because there's one that I think as reality TV fans we're going to really like, and also just get ready to cringe a little bit at this, because it is awkward.
Okay.
Being here, the category top 10 reasons to watch the new season of Big Brother. Here we go, number 10.
This season will have 50% more grab ass.
That's right. Number 9.
It's even more high definitioner.
High definitioner. Number 8.
If you get the immunity idol, you cannot get kicked off at the tribal council. Or whatever. Look, we're in our 13th season. I'm tired.
Yeah, she's tired.
Wasn't that hilarious?
Oh my God, that was painful.
Horrible, horrible. Let's keep going with this because it's so bad. I have to finish it.
Okay.
Number 7.
It's the only show on CBS that isn't about inspecting corpses.
That's right. Number 6.
Economy stinks. Too hot outside. What else are you going to do?
That's right. Number 5.
It's the only place you can see stuff like this.
Well, let's see.
And this is where it cuts to that scene of Big Brother 13. I think Keith and someone else dressed up like a cow jumping on each other, squeezing milk out of each other.
Oh, no. Number 4.
The Big Brother house is overrun with feral goats.
I guess so. Forgot.
Who wrote that joke?
Yeah, what?
What was that?
Also, why does Julie have... It sounds like someone else is, like, possessing Julie while she's reading these.
Who is she? Who is she? Okay, let's keep going. I think that her really good one's coming up here, too.
Okay.
Number 3.
There's a good chance you'll see people getting it on.
I think we just saw that, for God's sakes. Number 2.
If you don't, I'll have my husband, Les Moonves, fire Dave.
Oh, come on. Come on. Hey, come on.
Great delivery, Julie, on that one. Have her husband fire Dave.
Have Grandpa Moonves come in and take him out. Oh my God!
What do you predict is the number one reason why you should be watching Big Brother 13?
Oh, I it's going to be something stupid, Paul. I have no idea.
Let's see
the clip.
Let's see.
And the number one reason to watch the new season of Big Brother:
14 housemates, 1 toilet.
There you go. Thank you very much.
Like, what is this?
I think the biggest question is, why was Julie Chen not cast for a host of Last Comic Standing, right? She just really knows how to zing them, you know?
Oh, my goodness. Julie Chen. Wow. I don't know what to say, Paul. I really don't.
Well, I think what we'll see from this is that there will be a few clips in this countdown where we will see her trying to be funny, obviously saying something, a line that's given to her, and the awkwardness of her trying to be funny is what makes it funny. So be on the lookout for that as we go through this here.
Okay, sounds good. Now, Paul, before we get into it, I just want to let people know. So again, this is Paul's list, Paul's top 15. So again, I don't know what's coming up. This is going to be a really fun ride, and if you have any beef with the order of these clips, you take it up with Paul and not with me.
Yes.
Is that okay?
Yes.
Okay,
yeah.
Paul,
I'll
ready?
Keep that on. Okay. That's fine, because what I also want to say about this is the way I did this was, a lot of it's just from what was my own memory. I didn't have time to go back and watch every episode that Julie Chen's been on. So a lot of them came from originally my, you know, just my memory of watching early seasons and certain things that I would laugh about with. But I took some time. I talked to me. I talked to my wife, my brother, my sister-in-law. We kind of came up with, or I came up with about a list of about 30 initially that moments I thought would be good. I pulled audio for all those moments. Some of them you got to cut just because they didn't work out as well without the visual. Sometimes Julie Chen can be very awkward with her robotic movements and her, you know, her gestures. Some of that stuff just doesn't play. So I did that, and then I had my helpers kind of rank these, what they thought the funniest were. I also then reached out to Shut Up Tim to see what he thought, because I wanted someone who was not in on the Oslison Julie Chen jokes, right, to kind of give a. So I kind of used all these different things to come up with this list. A couple of things that I debated with that I ended up not including in was like the moment when she confronts Aaron in Big Brother 15 about her racist comments. Like it's a very notable Julie Chen moment, and there is some funny in it the way she does it, but it just didn't feel like it was appropriate for the funniest moments on the list, even though it's a pretty awkward moment.
Yeah, I would agree. Definitely in there for awkwardness, but if we're going down the fun podcast route, I mean, I think safe bet to avoid the racism. So good call, Paul. I like that. And then in terms of the criteria, like what did you, in terms of determining what was number one and what was 15, like what put one ahead of these other 14 clips that you have?
Yeah, well, there's not like a perfect formula for it. Part of it was like it ranks up higher, like if it's just a stronger audio clip without explanation. There's going to be some that are maybe a little bit lower on that. Once you like talk about the context, you talk about it, you like see why it's a little like funnier. Also, yeah, it to be funnier too, then it also has to be like funny when you just hear it and she has this moment, but then also has to have some more depth to it, to like the why she's saying this about a certain person, or what was the backstory behind this. So I mean, this, I'm trying to make this sound scientific. It really is not that scientific. It's taking what I thought was funny and what my friends and family thought was funny, and trying to make this sound really like I thought a lot of time on this though, and I wanted to make sure that it also you know, represent a lot of the seasons, because initially I had a lot from very early on, but I wanted to kind of thin things out and make sure that all seasons were represented. I think we have 11 seasons represented over these 15 moments. So a spread, you know, ranging from the first season all the way to our most recent. So there's a lot to go with here. Oh, the other thing I did have to cut out was there's a couple moments that I wanted to find, but with thanks to CBS All Access, they've edited out a few things that were really hard for me to find. One of them was the famous when she loses programming in her ear. It's like virtually impossible to find now anywhere. And they like edited that out, which I'm not sure how it would rank on the list, but I just don't want people to like have that in their mind right away, because that's such a fresh Julie Chen soundbite that one won't be in the list.
Okay, sounds good. Yeah, that was a really good clip. I forgot about that until you mentioned it. But sounds good. Let's get into it. Paul, what is clip number 15?
All right. Well, clip number 15 is from Big Brother 15. And this is a side of Julie Chen I kind of like to think of as the substitute teacher that can't control the rowdy class. You know, I'm in education. I've been there. I was a substitute teacher. I know what it's like sometimes. So you get in a situation where the kids are kind of out of control. And earlier on in Big Brother, we used to see a lot more of this from Julie. Now this is a later season, and this kind of comes back up. And so this is what happens right before Candy, what was her name? Candy Land, right?
Mm-hmm.
Right. Right before her exit from the game, and we hear how Julie Chen so eloquently and so forcefully controls the room on this little altercation. Here's the clip.
This is why you're
Gina Marie.
That's why I put your ass
right,
up there.
Enough from both of you.
Hearing about our boy Pat that would never like you.
Ladies, Spencer, take it away. Spencer, it is your turn.
All right.
Ladies, settle down.
Settle down, ladies. She just gives up, just goes, Spencer, take it away. That's the moment when you've lost it in the class. You're like, sit down, sit down, sit down, sit down. Okay, fine, just go. Move on, go.
Oh man, that's great. Poor Spencer, he's got to go in there and split that whole Gina Marie and Candace. I mean, oh man, I would not want to get in between that. But good, smart move by Julie to just pawn that off on someone else.
Right? Did you ever have to when you met Gina Marie? Did you have to tell her to settle down?
I didn't have to. There wasn't anything that happened. We didn't. I said hi to her. She was very, very nice when I met her, but we didn't actually talk too much, the two of us. And then we were in like a big group setting, so it was okay. But I've heard some stories about some people having to settle Gina Marie down, and I don't think it's an easy thing to do. So again, hats off to Spencer Clawson for pulling that off.
I just love the
ladies.
Ladies, settle down.
Settle down.
Oh, and yeah, she used to be like this, like in the early seasons. Like I know the Big Brother 3 cast was like super rowdy. She would come on and they'd be like cheering and stuff. And Big Brother 2, there's a scene where they start all like singing to her and stuff like that. And she just like can't control them at all. So I think they've kind of worked things out. But the fact that Big Brother still does this live show that's like actually live and like there's like no wiggle room at all. She just is really not good at time management.
No, definitely not. And it's amazing that Julie does this live show once a week every summer. You know, good on her. I can't imagine how, like, season one Julie Chen would have handled that. So no. Definitely not the best, but you know what? This could have been worse in terms of what she did there. Let's go to number 14, Paul. What is the number 14 best Julie Chen moment on Big Brother?
So the number 14, I cheated a little bit with this. This is the only time I cheat with this, and I kind of combined two clips from two different seasons together, but it really, they kind of fall in the exact same category, and these two characters of Big Brother go really well together. This is when Julie Chen she has a quick little one-liner to shut up someone that the fans don't like. And obviously she doesn't like them either. And it's usually shutting someone up who's blabbing a lot, and so she has to interject really quickly, and she's usually like not that friendly about it, or she does a really quick way just to kind of stop this person from talking, and it's really fun to listen to. So let's first start with Big Brother 10, and hear Julie Chen talking in the HOH room to the one, the only, Mr. Pectacular. Oh, and there's some also at the beginning of this clip here. It's also great too. We'll get to the moment at the end, but there's also just some awkward Julie and Jesse back and forth at the beginning that I just had to include because it's Julie and Jesse communicating.
Hi, Jesse.
How are you doing?
I'm doing well, thanks. All your housemates are in the living room. They cannot hear you, so speak your mind, okay?
Okay.
You seem to volunteer quite often to your housemates that they consider you, quote, a body without a brain. What makes you think that?
Say that again?
You often tell your housemates that they think of you as just a body without a brain. What makes you think that your housemates think this of you?
Just because of my age, apparently I'm the youngest person in here, so I'm 22. I've actually gone through a lot in my life, but most people just stereotypically just think everybody that has muscle, you know, all they can do is work out. But, you know, the reasoning for when I started working out was for good purposes. I didn't want to start doing, you know, alcohol-related stuff into college, so I went and just worked out.
Well, good for you.
Good for you, Jesse.
Okay, so I'm guessing the second part of the clip is did she do another interview with him in BB11?
No, this is actually, so we're gonna go to his friend in Big Brother 11, Natalie.
Ah.
She does a similar thing to her when at the final three, when America is screaming at the top of their lungs, fearing that somehow Natalie is going to win this game. And it goes down to Natalie and Jordan in a head-to-head battle. And Jordan on live TV beats Natalie. And Julie Chen goes to talk to a very poor sport Natalie about the loss.
It sucks, Julie, because this was a mental challenge and I knew every order. I could tell you anything that's happened in this house from day one all the way till now, but that ball went into the wrong hole and then I continued on and I didn't skip a day and it just sucked.
It was mental and physical, actually. House guests, we'll all see you on Tuesday night for the season finale. Have a great night, everybody.
Yeah. Actually, you sucked in both ways. So good night, everyone.
Oh my God. Oh wow. I did not remember that. Julie Chen. What Sophie's a little poetry,
but she's like saying what we were wanting to say. Like normally Julie Chen tries to stay so objective, but there are all these annoying characters that she just can't hold herself back, that if someone's gonna be blabbing on and on about how they steered away from alcohol in college and that's why they're a big bodybuilder, she's not afraid to tell him.
Well, good for you.
That's great. And when someone's gonna Natalie's gonna pull this BS talking about all of her that
yeah,
she actually
it
was
sucks.
Mental and physical actually.
Exactly. Actually.
Just cuts her off mid-sentence. Oh man, Julie Chen.
She's really good at the cutoff. She's really good at cutting off these people.
Yeah, I didn't realize that before.
And in a preview for the future, there is another cutoff moment, but that's much higher on the list, which we will get to eventually.
Okay, sounds good. Well, Paul, let's keep going. Let's go to number 13 because those were both just number 14, correct?
Right. I just put them together because I couldn't decide which one to cut. They were so good. And I was like, yeah, Jesse sucks. Natalie sucks. They were kind of together on Big Brother 11.
Yeah,
so
I think it
put
makes
them
sense.
Together here.
Sounds good. So let's go to number 13 on the list. So what do you have? What season are we going to for this one?
Let's go to Big Brother 10. And on Big Brother 10, we are going to hear from the greatest player of all time, according to Taryn, and maybe myself, Dan Giesling.
Okay.
Hello, Dan.
Hey, like the hair tonight, Mrs. Chen.
Oh, thank you. Just for the record, I am married, but Mrs. Chen is my mother. But thank you for that. Thank you for the respect.
Wasn't that respectful of Dan?
Oh man, that was I actually really loved that moment from Julie at the time, because it was so annoying when Dan kept pandering to Julie so hard. He's like, oh, because that was the third week in a row, I think, that he said thank you, Mrs. Chen.
I think he'd been up on the block. Well, he'd been on the block twice, I think, and then he had done it, and then he did it again. And do you remember what happens then, what he does next episode?
I do not remember what he does next episode.
Let's listen to that.
Dan.
Hey, Mrs. Chen. How about Miss Julie? I'll meet you halfway.
Thank you.
It's a sweet moment. It's nice because it's with Jesse and Natalie and stuff, and you could see her annoyance. You could tell she likes Dan, but she's kind of telling him okay, cut the crap here.
Right, right. No, I agree there. You could definitely see the difference between the moments there. She definitely has some love for Dan, especially now, but even at the time, definitely she didn't even know that Dan would become who he is. But no, that's great. Okay, let's keep it rolling, Paul. Let's go to number 12.
All right, number 12. This is a very short, quick. It's an opener to Big Brother 11. This goes with a visual that you can't see, but picture it in your mind, and then we'll discuss it. This is how Julie Chen kind of opens us up to Big Brother 11.
Whether you're expecting the unexpected or just expecting, get ready, because another crazy summer is about to begin.
So picture Julie Chen saying, whether you're expecting the unexpected or just expecting, as she points down at her pregnant stomach.
Oh my goodness. That was such a fun summer of Big Brother. I didn't realize that was BB 11. I thought that was BB 12 for some reason. But I do remember that vividly all summer. Julie just cheated the whole season. She was pregnant the entire time.
Yes.
That was very impressive by the Chen bot, Miss Julie.
Right. And maybe that would explain why she was so upset with Natalie by the end of that she had to cut her off that at the end, because she was just – she was carrying a baby that was about to pop out by the end of the season. So I'd be kind of short with Natalie as well.
No, that makes a lot more sense now. How many kids does Julie have?
She just has one boy. Right now, as we're recording this podcast, they are on the Hogwarts train to Hogwarts in London right now for a little Christmas getaway. I follow Julie Chen on Instagram, and I know what she's doing at all times. So
wow.
I am the Julie Chen historian.
There you go. Do you have her on Snapchat too, Paul?
I do, actually, but then she switched over to Instagram now, but she was doing snaps. She has some good stuff on Snapchat, which she did. Now she's on Instagram, which she can't be as playful with. So I really want to get back on Snapchat so I can see her with a dog filter on her and stuff. But
how old is her kid? Five, I guess? Or no, hold on. Big Brother 11. Yeah.
I was with 11, and that was in 2009.
Oh, wow.
So, seven. Yeah, I was looking. I was like, who's this boy in the picture? I was like, oh, yeah, I forgot. She had a kid a while ago. I was expecting the unexpected while she was expecting.
I'm
a funny line written for her that she like delivers so like awkwardly.
Oh my god, Julie! I mean, it's so impressive as well. Not just with Julie, but with Les Moonves, because he is like a dinosaur, and he just had a kid. Like, wow, I don't know about you, Paul, but I think that's quite amazing.
Well, I'm not going to say anything about that in case everyone gets a CBS show. I'm not going to call him a dinosaur right now. So I do not support that claim, Jordan.
Okay. But let's keep it moving. We had a moment from Big Brother 11. We're on moment number 11. Where are we going here now, Paul?
Okay, this is one that's going to speak for itself. It had to be on the list. We're going to go all the way back to Big Brother 1. Let's hear the full-length one, and then we'll hear it by itself.
All right, so we go from personal space in the bathroom area to personal space in the bedroom area. I'm going to show you a bedroom coming up that I can promise you, my friend, you have never, ever seen before in your life. Stick around for that. So back to you, Julie.
Whoa, that's wild. Thanks, Ian.
We hear that so much in RGP. I had kind of forgotten the context of it, what she was referring to there, talking about a bathroom that they'd never seen before.
Oh, man. Classic RHAP sound clip, which for the RHAP historians out there, I believe that came up during Rob Cesternino and Eric Stein's recap of the first ever episode of Big Brother. So if you want to see that, I believe that's where you can find it. But I forgot about the context of that as well, Paul. I didn't realize that's what it was, but a classic nonetheless.
Yeah, that was a pretty surprising and, dare I say, wild.
Yes. Yes, a wild moment indeed. You know what else is wild? We're already on number 10. That's impressive. We're on number 10. We're flying through these rankings. I guess it's different when, you know, we don't have Taryn to break down, you know, why. Or we don't have Taryn and Brent arguing over why, you know, why Julie
right.
Chen
should
being
we be yelling a little bit more?
Maybe we should. Maybe I should be like, no, I can't do a Brent impression, but, you know, maybe I should be arguing that we should have the expecting line should have been, you know, a little lower, but that's okay. I think these are all there. I'm on board with these so far, Paul. I think you're doing a good job.
Right.
So we will see what Brent Wolgamott and Taryn Armstrong have to say after the fact. But let's keep going. Let's go to number 10 on the list. Where are we going here, Paul?
So for Big Brother, or for the number 10 run on the spot here, let's go to Big Brother 3. And this is a pretty iconic moment. So I'm going to let it play off, and I bet you're going to be able to tell me, you know, right away what's happening in this clip. So let's play the number 10 moment.
First of all, Marcellus, I need to do this to you.
No!
What were you thinking?
Remember that moment, Jordan?
Oh, I remember it like it was yesterday, Paul. That was I kind of wish Arissa Cox did that to me on my season of Big Brother. I think that would have been really funny. I think if Arissa was a BB historian, maybe she would have known to do that. But classic Marcellus moment. And for the uninitiated, if you haven't seen Big Brother 3, spoiler alert, Marcellus at I guess this was the final four. Final five, sorry. Yes. Okay. Yeah. Final five. He wins the power veto, the golden power veto, which back in the day that wasn't a thing, but the golden power veto gave you the ability to use the veto on yourself. Marcellus wins it. He's on the block next to his best friend, Amy, decides he can't figure out who to use. He can't figure out whether to use it on her or to use it on him, so he doesn't use it. Jason Guy votes him out, and then Julie Chen slaps him over the face. What was that, like her card she hit him with?
Her cue card, yeah, that says Big Brother on it. It gave us this great sound.
No!
It's so loud that, in fact, when he gets voted off in Big Brother All-Stars, he's wearing his afro because it happened to be prom night, and Julie Chen asks him, are you wearing this so I don't smack you in the head? So great. Another great – I love Big Brother 3. I could do a whole podcast of Big Brother 3 appreciation and the characters on it, and I think Amy is also fantastic on it. In this episode, another quote we always talk about, not Julie Chen related though, is when they each have to give their plea to Marcellus. Well, I think – it's because Marcellus and Amy are on the block, and so obviously Marcellus Marcellus can't plead to himself why he should use the veto on himself. But then Amy gets the chance. This is, you know, Amy's chance to say a last word. You know, here's her words to him are, do what you want, Marcellus. You know, I don't care. So that's a quote we say all the time around this household. If you don't want to do something, just say, you know, I don't care.
Classic, classic Amy. I mean, if you really think about it, Paul, in the context of everything, like, I think that Big Brother 3, in terms of the characters, I think that's it's got to be the best season for just character wise, right?
Yes, and it's like, and also all the people who are like, well, okay, with the exception of Lori being the first one out, I love Lori Olsen so much. I mean, I can quote pretty much everything she said in her 1 week in the house. Aside from her, you lose a lot of people early on who aren't like contributing that much to the season. You get rid of Eric, you get rid of Tanya, and you get rid of Amy, but she does come back later on, which is great. And so by the time you get to the end of the season, you really just have a really, really fun, likable bunch. So Big Brother 3 is top-notch Big Brother.
Yeah, highly recommend that you go back and watch Big Brother 3 during the off season if you haven't seen it. It is a fantastic season, and it still holds up in my opinion over time.
Yeah, it really does. And we'll be talking about that. I'm thinking somewhere towards the top five, so we can give some more Big Brother 3 love at that point. So okay. I'm excited for that.
Okay, top five, baby. All right, well, let's get to number nine, Paul. And are we going early season, are we going recent season, where are we going?
We are going early season. We're going to go back to Big Brother 2. And Big Brother 2, it's a season that I saw most of it when it aired. It took me a long time before I ever could rewatch it because it was harder to find. I watched some clips on YouTube. Now I've rewatched it since it's been on CBS All Access. Kind of holds up. There's some crazy. It is a kind of a long season to get to. But here's a moment that is going to cause some controversy, okay? I'm going to try to bring some controversy here to the happy hour. It's a little bit too nice here with me, you, and Julie Chen here. So I was debating whether or not to include this on the list because the situation that this occurs in is not a funny situation. I'm not saying what happens in Big Brother 2 around this time is funny at all. What is funny is Julie Chen's how she reports on what is happening in the house during week one. So let's listen to the clip.
At this point, Justin picked up a large kitchen knife and repeated to an intoxicated Krista, "Seriously, would you get mad if I killed you?" He put the knife to Krista's throat as they kissed. He then took the knife away momentarily. With Krista's encouragement, he put the knife back to her neck. They kissed again, and then he returned the knife to its drawer.
Okay, funny, good. I was really afraid I'm gonna play the clip and you're just gonna be like, Paul, that is horrible.
Okay, well, and first off, yes, just to preface my laughter, I'm so like a very serious situation. Krista is very fortunate that she didn't get hurt, and yes, like it's not funny and that's not okay, but Julie Chen's delivery of what she's saying,
oh my gosh,
so funny.
She's such a news reporter here. I just love the "they kissed again." I think I have that here.
Yeah, play that.
They kissed again, and then he returned the knife to its drawer.
They kissed again.
And they returned the knife to its drawer.
Back to the drawer. It's I mean, this is early on. She's at this point, she's still working for the early show, doing her news desk thing. So she is reading this like a news reporter. And the situation is like so absurd that like this crazy situation is happening. You have drunk Justin, drunk Krista. They're in the kitchen. This is the reason they don't have knives on Big Brother, or they don't get to have all the liquor that you guys get to have up in Canada, is because of this situation where playfully Justin takes out a kitchen knife and holds it up to her neck, and they kiss over the knife as narrated by Julie Chen here. So,
Oh my goodness, Paul. Would you be mad if I killed you like that?
Right. And there's also a whole thing, I didn't include it for this podcast, but there's also an interview with Justin talking to Julie Chen, and Justin's like, you got to be crazy if you think that I was being serious. And Julie Chen just has to be like, can you see how someone would think that this was offensive? No, you're crazy. And he's just kind of yelling at her, and she's like, just trying over and over again. I think this furthers our point that we made early on, that Julie Chen really is the Jeff Probst. Like, she's narrating here, just like Jeff Probst, you know, commentates on a challenge. It's kind of the same thing here.
Oh yes, literally.
On Survivor in the early days, she could be like, it could cut from the Mike Scoopin footage, and just she could be like, Mike Scoop, at this point, Mike Scoopin inhaled the smoke and fell towards the fire. Once awake, he made his way to the water where he passed out again.
I'm really regretting that CBS did not give Julie a position doing, or like she should have been, yeah, like every time someone's medevaced on Survivor, and maybe they could do this now. Julie Chen is the person who like walks it through. She's like, yes, beast mode cowboy passed out from working so hard in a challenge when he had no reason to because it was for reward and almost died. They picked him up in the helicopter, took him away, and Jeff Probst kissed him goodbye. Like, just something like that would be very funny.
Anything controversial, the Sue and Richard debacle.
Oh, my goodness.
Thailand. I mean, anything that's controversial that it's like, ooh, don't know how we can dance around this. Throw in Julie. She can give us just this, you know, very objective, very slow broadcasting from the late 90s.
Yeah, she really has the news voice down. I mean,
yes, she does.
As somebody who has recently left that career path or I was working towards that in school, I've seen a lot of like news reporters, and Julie Chen's good. She's really good, Paul. That's impressive.
So you're leaving Big Brother 2 narrating Justin and Krista, Julie Chen, to become Julie Chen trying to handle Gina Marie and Candace. Is that what I'm hearing here?
Yes. Yes.
you're leaving Put It Back in the Drawer for ladies.
Ladies,
yes, yes, that is it.
You're going down on the list here, Jordan.
Yes, I'm going from the reporter Julie Chen to the teacher Julie Chen. That's what I'm going to be trying to do. At least we'll see if I'm as successful as Julie was with Candace and Gina Marie. Maybe I'll just there's a bad kid in one of my classes. Once I'm a teacher, I can just pawn him off onto one of the other kids in the class. But anyway. Paul, that was fantastic. Personally, that's without a doubt. I think that's number one so far. So well done.
Yeah, we'll see if we can top that. That was also one that like I was like, okay, if this bombs, this is horrible. This can't be like a top five moment. If this is like we get to the top five and you're thoroughly disgusted by my pick, then I would be in hot water.
And I apologize to people. Some people might be offended, and I get it. But like for me personally, that is because of how I'm results oriented with this. Because it turned out okay. It's okay to laugh. I'm just gonna say. And again, we're not laughing at the situation. We're laughing at her delivery. Okay, so Paul, that was number 10. Let's go.
That was number nine.
Oh, that was number nine. Was that number nine? Okay, so that was number nine.
Very comfortably in the middle here.
Okay. So we're at number eight. We're halfway, just about. So where are we at now with number eight?
We are going to go to Big Brother 7, Big Brother All Stars, and this is another set of Julie Chen that is also great to watch when she fumbles and makes a big, big mistake, and we'll talk about the context of this, which makes this even a little bit funnier. So let's listen to her big her big mistake here on Big Brother All Stars.
Allison's answer was false. Nokomis, congratulations. You are the new head of household. Oh, I'm so sorry. It is Kaser. My mistake. Sorry, Nokomis.
Fast forward to 1 week. Nokomis, you've been evicted from the Big Brother house.
Oh my goodness. Wow. I'm sorry, Kaser. Oh yeah, Kaser.
You just heard her voice a year ago. Head of household. Kaser. Oh, I am sorry. It is Kaser.
I mean, what I liked about that is at least Julie, like, she was almost done. She almost went full Steve Harvey in, like, fully crowning her, but she just caught herself at the end
just
there.
The nick of time, like a true, broadcast journalist in the hot seat there at the last minute saves it here.
Yes.
Sorry, Nicole.
Yep, sorry, Nicobus, about that one.
Is that Howie, like, screaming in the background?
Of course, that's how he's screaming like a 8-year-old in the background in that K-Stard one. It's also like a great visual of just watching Nokomis, watching her her face just looking up like, what? Like, you know, Nokomis is like a smart player, you know, the five-finger plan Nokomis. She's like, what are you talking about, Julie? Just staring up. So, yeah.
Okay.
Sorry, Nokomis.
Howie, my favorite part is you can just hear Howie. He's like, you just hear him starting to scream like, whoa! Like, you can just hear
I want to hear Howie here. Let's listen.
Okay.
Sorry, Nokomis.
There's a great Marcellus quote later on that season where he's when Erica had one head of household and they were all the mistakes in the challenge, so they have to take it back.
Right, with
and
the buzzer.
You do it, and then the buzzer, and then Janelle wins. And then and Howie's doing his big celebration with Janelle, and Marcellus is so pissed off in the diary room, and he's going on. She's like, yeah, but he can't stand them. He's like, Janelle's like, yeah, and Howie's like, dude, dude. Pretty accurate.
Oh man, love Big Brother All Stars.
It's hard. It took me a long time to appreciate it because I was such a Danielle Reyes fan, like
right.
number one player of favorite of all time for me. So what happens to her at the end of that game is like really brutal. So once you actually spend the time to go back and watch it, and what's actually nice about rewatching these seasons now that they've extended Big Brother to be so long, and I love Big Brother, rewatching these newer Big Brother seasons are almost impossible for how long they are. But Big Brother also has less than 30 episodes, and it really, you can really get through it, and it's really fun. So
yeah, it's a shame they don't, and I think we're at the point of no return, which is really sad, but this is like, this is peak Big Brother All Stars there, but that era, I mean, just so 6, 7, 8, just so much yes. fun in the early seasons as well. But okay, so we finished with that was number 8.
Yes, so that means we're moving on to number 7, and we're going to go back to Big Brother 15, and I'm going to actually play the clip in isolation of the really funny part. Normally I show you kind of the big clip and then I cut it down a little bit. I'll show you the small part of it first, because that's what makes it funny, and then I'll give you the context of it here. It's more typical just Julie being Julie.
Why?
Did you catch that, Jordan? Here, I'm gonna play it again. See if you could tell me what is Julie Chen saying here.
She says why? Is that what she's saying?
Is she speaking English here? One more time.
Why?
Okay, let me give you the full context of where that baffling clip comes from.
At first you thought you were the pawn. Clearly you're not, because you're here. Why do you think they saw you as the bigger threat than the other two girls?
So this is Caitlyn's eviction in Big Brother 15, and she's fumbling over words because she's asking a question, and then if you listen very carefully, you hear Caitlyn say under her breath, very quietly said, like, everything changes. And so that just really throws off the Chen bot here, and she has to kind of recompute this here, and that's where we get the fumbling there.
Ah, okay. Do you want to play that again, see if we can hear that?
Yes, let's listen to the whole clip again.
At first you thought you were the pawn. Clearly you're not, because you're here. Why do you think they saw you as the bigger threat than the other two girls?
Let's back on her feet.
Oh man, wow, that's so fascinating. All you need to do is just like say interject with one thing and it just breaks the Chen bot. It's crazy.
It really did screw with her algorithm there. It was yeah. Too bad Taryn's not on this podcast to discuss the robotics of this all, but
yeah, he would have an answer.
Taryn, how that works.
Yeah, he'd be able to diagnose what happened there. But that's okay. So she's saying like what I think. So she's saying what, why, what changed, why? Is that what?
Yes, but it's obviously not that intelligible. Let's hear that one more time. Just her.
Why?
Oh man.
Chembot does not compute.
No, she doesn't know what's going on. Classic Julie. Well done. Okay, so that was number 7.
Yes.
Let's go to number 6 on the list. Paul, what season are we going to?
Okay, this is one of my favorites, and it's a favorite that people don't appreciate a lot, but I love Big Brother 5. I think Big Brother 5 is fantastic in its own way. I have a special connection with it, and this comes from a moment here that I think is my favorite reality TV moment of all time. And there's a little part of it that Julie gets a little funny part in that we're going to talk about here, but the twin twist reveal of Big Brother 5, I think, is the greatest moment in reality TV. Maybe not just isolated by itself, but if you actually have watched the season, you get to that point, and the way they play the scene out is just so beautiful. Seeing everyone's faces, the second guessing, the surprise, have no idea that this is coming. It's an amazing moment. I'm going to play this. I've edited it down just a little bit for time's sake. And then once you get to the end, listen to what Julie Chen says. This is also kind of along the lines of Julie Chen being in a rowdy classroom, not having everyone's attention. So let's listen to how Julie Chen ends the revealing of Adrian and Natalie as identical twins playing the game as one.
It is time to find out who has been playing the Big Brother game with their identical twin.
Oh my God. All right, house guests, everyone, meet Natalie. But then again, everyone, you've already met her.
Everyone, meet Natalie. But then again, you've already met her. It's a great visual, too, because everyone's running around just like going bat-ass crazy all over the place. And here Julia is trying to have this like little line that's written up for her to be like put a little like, you know, cherry on top of this little twist here. You've already met her, actually, da da da, but no one's listening at all, so everyone just keeps screaming over her. I'm gonna play just that little part again at the end.
Okay,
here.
Okay.
Everyone, meet Natalie. But then again, everyone, you've already met her.
You can hear a lot of, oh my God, ah! Like no one has any idea. And it's a great visual too, because Nikovas is wearing these huge giant ass black pants. I don't know if you can picture those.
Yes.
They're kind of like black teepees on her legs. She's just kind of jumping around up and down with her red mohawk. No one has any idea that Julie Chen is still talking to them at this point.
just Julie, like, it's so, like, this is proof that Julie is one of the robots from Westworld, because like she doesn't know like, hey, you just dropped this huge moment, like, no one's right. Gonna listen to you, just sit back and let the, like, you know, let right. It breathe a little bit, let them like figure it out and get excited right. Themselves.
And I edited that down, and there was a really a long dramatic pause before it happened. Like, it really is so beautiful, this moment. I love the way it starts off too, the way they just blindside him, because Julie Chen comes in, they're all sitting down, and she says like, today you're gonna be playing, you know, the next head of household competition, where you'll have to be the most observant. Diane, as outgoing head of household, you will not be competing, but I would like to ask you a practice question. Diane, how many players have lived inside the Big Brother house and played the Big Brother game? And Diane goes, 13. Actually, Diane, and Diane's like, wait, what? Actually, Diane, 14 people have lived inside the Big Brother house and have played the Big Brother game. So it was so perfect the way they just broke into this, and they just go piece by piece by piece. The house guests have no idea. You have Cowboy yelling out, it's Holly, it's Holly. And they're like, it's Scott, it's Lori. And it's just like all over the place just to end with this. So I'm glad that we got classic Julie right at the end of that scene.
What a twist. I mean, and also, like, I just wish, again, I'm so envious of these days of Big Brother, because, we had the twin twist on 17, but I feel like...
I was going to say, this is almost as epic as the Nolan twin twist, right?
Right?
Similar.
But just, like, you know, the Project DNA as a whole was just so great. And also, Julie, again, I'm sure there's moments of Julie Chen just, like, her introducing it, like, Project DNA, do not assume.
Right. Yeah, she said all the time, Project DNA, Project do not assume, Project DNA for short.
It's great.
Do not assume that blah, 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 blah. They really like,
they really play that
all the time.
Yeah,
yes.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, well, that's a great moment for sure. Let's keep it going. We're in the top five, baby. I want to hear what the fifth clip is overall, Paul. So again,
right.
I'm thinking we're going to stay in the early days. Am I correct?
In that mid range you were talking about, that 6, 7, 8 range, we're going to go to Big Brother 8. When people kind of ask me what my favorite, if I had to say my favorite seasons of Big Brother, and I kind of rank them, what are the most fun for me to watch? They're Big Brother 3 and Big Brother 8. I think they're both such fun seasons with such great casts. So the number five moment here is a Big Brother 8 moment. And it has to do with someone who happens to be a friend of RHAP. So let's listen to this moment, our top five moment.
Also ahead, Eric and Jessica are getting closer every day. Are Eric's feelings for Jessica real? Or is America's player really America's playa?
What's What's the answer to that one, Jordan? Did we ever find out?
Eric wasn't America's playa. I don't think so. He was. I think it was legit.
Oh, playa. Wait, I gotta make sure we're pronouncing that right. Listen to this.
America's playa.
Playa.
The example of Chili Chen. Now you kind of sound like Russell Hance there. Tone it down a little bit.
Oh, okay. Sorry.
It's kind of a playful America's playa. Will. So great.
No, that's definitely that's fun. I do enjoy that. I would like to get Eric Stein's take on that. I think he would just to see, because yeah, maybe she is right. Maybe he is a playa like that.
This is a really popular clip at the time that when all the butt first videos came out of Julie Chen saying butt first, that the one from season 8 had butt first, and then interjected the America's playa part in it just because it was so funny.
That's great. I remember, I think my mom actually showed me that the butt first video, because like it was on like back in the day when you used to get like those chain letter email things. I think my mom somehow got on one of those, and that was how I saw, which is like the most random way to see that video. But
yes, for sure.
But yeah, the butt first video, again, that's something, if you haven't seen it, go on YouTube, type in Julie Chen butt first. It is quite hilarious. It's very good.
Yeah, it's a huge part of it is you have to see kind of the visual of it to yes. hear, but just to give you a little bit of a taste of what it sounds like, here's the original one that kind of blew up Julie Chen as the Chen bot.
But first.
It's like one of those things you say like a word or phrase again and again, it just ends up sounding like gibberish.
That's so good. I haven't heard it in so long. It's such a good clip. It almost sounded like that was just cut like raw, the butt first, right? But it sounded almost like somebody was trying to make like a song almost, because it sounded like it was going up and down, and you could hear like the Big Brother music in the background.
Yeah, the Big Brother music. Yeah. Yeah. That the original video, I think the number one very inappropriate, not funny comment on the video was, "I bet she does like it butt first."
Oh my goodness.
So I don't know if that original video is still up, but that was the number one comment for a long time.
Okay. So that's number five. Yes. We're the first of the top five. Let's go to number four, Paul. Where are we going?
All right. We're gonna finish off our last entry with Big Brother 3. And this is three little clips put together. This is all from the same conversation. I cut this down to be these three little sections because this is what I like to call Big Brother small talk. So Julie Chen used to have to do this all the time. They've gotten better with the timing. They would have these really like, well, I don't want to say bogus, but just like really crapshoot of games on Big Brother in the early seasons. And sometimes they didn't know how to ask the questions, so that often it would be over in two or three questions. And so they'd cut to break and they should go back to check in on the house guests. And there'd be like this 7 or 8 minute scene of them sitting around on the couch and Julie Chen like interviewing them. And in case you haven't picked up on this podcast, like Julie Chen is not the best person just to like shoot the shit with, you know, like not a natural conversationalist here jumping around and around. So this is right after Marcellus has won head of household for the second time in the game. And she's going around here and I pull three little sections of this awkward conversation as she's trying to fill time. So let's listen to the first part of her small talk here. This is moment number four.
We should clarify, for Big Brother 3, you were the first person in this group to become head of household twice. But last season, you probably remember Hardy got it
all
more
time.
Than once.
So. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Gotta bring up Hardy. Who? Where is that? What is that?
A little jealousy.
How awkward is that in a conversation? And she tilts her head back and forth. A little jealousy.
Yeah, it sounded like like Dr. Evil had like possessed her for a moment there. like what?
Part of her mechanics there was like, I don't know, something they were playing with there. Turn on the Dr. Evil voice there.
Yeah. I don't know what happened, but that was great. Okay, what's the context of that?
Marcellus wins, I'm trying to think here. I should know Big Brother 3 pretty well. When he wins his second time, must be the week that Who goes out under his rule? Hardy? No, I mean a Roddy.
Roddy, yeah, maybe? I believe Roddy went.
Yes. No, that is because this is part of it. Yeah, I should have known this. This is after the Jerry eviction, not Jerry Big Brother 10, but the original Jerry.
Wash your damn hands, Jerry. Yes.
Right. Yes. Dirty hands, Jerry. We'll talk about that here in a second in this clip. But yeah, he just got evicted, so they're filling the time here. And they said Marcellus was the first person to win HOH twice that season, which is pretty crazy to think about. The final six, the first time you have a repeat head of household.
Right.
But he wins, and so they're all excited. And I get kind of one of the things that it happens a little bit. They touch on the show is that they talk kind of about Hardy from last season every now and then. And so she brings up right away that, well, actually, you know, this isn't a record because Hardy has won three in a row. So that's why they're all like, oh, come on, you're bringing up Hardy. And that prompts her to do her Dr. Yvonne little jealousy.
Oh, Julie.
So because she looks up at the clock and sees there's still about 5 minutes to fill, she has to keep going. This is just the beginning of this awkward conversation.
Oh, no.
So then Marcellus is holding his gnome in his hand. Do you remember the gnomes that they paint?
Oh, yes, I remember.
And his name is Boo. And Julie Chan kind of likes this. So she mentions something about his gnome Boo.
Gnome and I will reign over the house this week.
Your gnome, Boo.
With Boo by my side.
I was going to call you Marcellus Boo because I know it's a term of affection.
Julie was going to call him Marcellus Boo because she knows it's a term of affection. It's also awkward how she says affection.
Like she really malfunctioned here. Like, what is happening?
So awkward.
So, like, yes, you would say boo would be a term of endearment or affection.
Affection.
But not you wouldn't say the person's name and then add boo after it.
Like, I agree with you, Jordan Boo. Is it okay if I tell you that? I know it's a term of affection.
Okay, you can call me Jordan Boo, Jordan. Paul. That's okay. It. But I want to see what will happen if I start calling Brent Boo. If Brent will
try it out.
Okay, I'll try it next podcast. Let's see if he likes it.
Great. And then it ends here on a clip that might not be as funny just with the audio, but it's a great clip. So then she starts going, I don't know if this is in the clip here that I'm going to play, but part of it, she goes, oh, hey, I know. Like, she knows what she's going to ask about because she's like, crap, I'm trying to fill time. She starts asking him what they're going to miss about Jerry. And then she ends up kind of putting words in Danielle's mouth here. So this is her talking about what will happen now that Jerry, Dirty Hand Jerry, is out of the house.
Hey, I know. I want to know. What are you guys going to miss most about Jerry now that he's been voted out of the house?
And just those fatherly little chats and stories are great.
Danielle, you may have to be the parental figure now.
What?
Not that you weren't already, right? You're thinking.
So she targets Danielle this, tells her, I guess you're going to have to be, you know, the parental figure here. Danielle clearly says, what? And looks very confused, to which Julie Chen says, not that you're not already, right? That's what you're thinking. It's like, what? Did you not pick up on what that was?
Oh, and then, man.
Danielle just saying what here?
Oh, just man.
Danielle's what?
Wow. What? Wow, what? Julie. Wow. Wow, wow, wow. Unbelievable. Oh, my goodness. It's so bad. It's, again, this is, it's more and more evidence that she's one of the hosts from Westworld. That's what they did. They needed a host for Big Brother. They got a host from Westworld.
She inspired the show for sure.
Yes. Oh man. What are you going to miss about Jerry? And Jason Guy, such a nice man, right?
My brother always says, probably the nicest guy that ever lived.
Honestly, he is such a nice guy, Jason Guy. But yeah, it's funny. I remember watching Big Brother 3 as a kid, and my dad was named Jerry, and my dad is also a teacher, Nasty Hands Jerry was. And my dad was always so appalled about how terrible Jerry was. It was so funny as a kid. But he's another great character.
I can't believe I can't remember this now. Jerry wears some big white T-shirt in the house, and he like writes on it with markers or paint.
Yes.
Something like really for his wife's anniversary or something.
Yeah, I can't remember exactly.
I can't remember
what it
is, but after we watched that season, our next anniversary, my wife Alice gave me, I think it was for our first year anniversary maybe, she bought this big white trashy T-shirt and wrote on it something. Whatever the phrases that he wrote, she like wrote it to apply to my shirt and gave it to me as my anniversary gift.
Oh my God,
I don't think I've actually worn – I don't think I wear this shirt. I don't really have a I should have worn that for this podcast. That would have been the only time that it would actually be an appropriate attire, but yeah.
Oh my God. Well,
I would love to make a Jerry podcast. Talk about Jerry from BB3 and BB10.
We should just do reality TV Jerry's, and then
I love Jerry Manthi too. Jerry Manthi's fantastic.
Jerry Manthi, we get Jerry from the Survivor Token Chains.
Yeah, we could drop that. I have nothing to say about him, so the other three.
Apparently, he coach said he was really nice. That's all I know. Yeah, I think that would be a fun podcast at some point. But no, Paul, whenever we meet in person, I want to see the shirt.
Okay,
I gotta pick that up. Yeah, and tell Alice that I'm very impressed. You're very lucky. That's a great gift.
Well, if I show up in Canada wearing that shirt, I'm just gonna like fulfill every trashy American stereotype of, you know, what we look like and what we dress, walking around with this huge, you know, white t-shirt with scribbles on it.
No joke, honestly. Like when I was growing up, there were some of my friends who honestly believed that that's what Americans like were all like. And I was like, you've been on peoplofwalmart.com a little bit too much, my friends. But yes. Anyway, Paul, let's keep going. That was number four. I'm excited now. We're in the top three. Where are we going to go with number three?
Top three. I think as soon as I say the season, I think you're going to know where this is from. This is very recent. This was somewhat of a train wreck of a season. I think you almost threw in the towel during Big Brother Over the Top.
Yes.
But kind of the clip here that inspired this list, to be honest. So let's listen to what Julie Chen had to say just a few weeks ago.
Now, some of you have very dirty mouths. Potty mouth. That would never make it on the broadcast version. Well, that's the beauty of the internet, right? You can say what you want. Shit. Parents, I am sorry. Kids, that was a joke. Cursing is bad. Let's move on.
She can't even swear without being awkward. Like, is that not the most, like, awkward swear of the S word you've ever heard? Just listen to her just say it. It almost doesn't even sound like a swear word.
Shit. Shit.
It's just kind of like a mumble. She's almost more intelligible in the why.
Well, when I watched this live for the BBOTT finale, I at first thought that someone on the former house guest said that. I was like, was I cornbread? Like, who was that?
Right.
And then
sounds
I was like,
more like cornbread than Julie.
Right. Because I actually had another window open and I was trying to take notes and I was trying to do like a few things at once. So I had just at that point I just had the audio on.
Well,
I
hold on.
Watching the episode. Yes.
Hold on. You weren't completely sucked into a Big Brother Over the Top episode, that you actually were working on something else. I know, right?
Yeah, I'm sorry, Paul. Come at me and everyone. I'm sorry for the 5 minutes that I was doing that, taking notes over top of like the screen of the podcast, so I couldn't see the visual. Yeah. I don't think I will ever be able to make it up to you, and if you never forgive me, I understand. But no, I had to go back and rewind and watch the clip, and I was like, oh my God, that was Julie Chen.
I don't think we actually see it come out of her mouth, though, if I'm right. I think it kind of is cut away into something else,
So I think eventually I just figured out, okay, that was Julie's voice from going back and listening to it. But yeah, you're right. It doesn't sound like Julie, and it doesn't sound like someone is swearing. It's the host Julie is coming out.
Yeah, they have to work on that, whatever her operating system is to handle those swear words. It's kind of like when I use my my work computer from school. If I Google something with a swear word, it won't let me do it. So,
does that actually happen with your work computer?
Not so much with this one anymore. When I first was working in school, there was like these very strict filters on it. Like something I was searching that was like pretty innocent, but was like deemed like inappropriate. Like, it would get Google was like, no search results available for this. I was like, what are you talking about? Google has I could literally just hit my keyboard and Google would have results for it. But
no,
they got loosened up.
Wow. Okay. Well, there you go. All right. So that was number three, the inspiration for the list. I like the pick. I think a lot of people thought this was amazing. They loved that clip. I think
Taryn loved it. I know Taryn loved it.
Yes.
Taryn and Alex were really big.
Loved it, right? But I think that some people were like, this isn't that great. Like, I remember tweeting that was the best thing ever. And some people were like, oh, how old are you? 7? And I responded, yes. I thought that was fun because it showed like, okay, yes, it was awkward with her doing it. But it showed like, okay, Julie is a human, or she resembles somewhat of a human.
Right.
I think that's a great clip for number 3.
Well, you had tweeted about this, and I think I had responded to your tweet and said that this is now the best Julie Chen moment, passing BB-8's America's Playa.
Right. Yes, I do remember that.
I hadn't had the whole system up, but those are two of my top 5 moments. I wasn't 100% right, but I was close.
You were close, Paul. You were. We could.
Yes.
Okay, so you already had the wheels turning in your brain. We've got this all together now. We've gone through 13 moments. We've got to get through the final two. Paul, where are we going for number 2?
Okay, these top 2 are very hard to decide which one was going to be first, which was going to be second. I ended up going with the order I did because there was more of a discussion to be had about the number 1 slot as opposed to the number 2 slot. We're going to go to Big Brother 8, and this is kind of a precursor to what we see Julie Chen do to Jesse and Natalie. But this is her dealing with one of the best, like, hateable characters of all time, Big Brother 8's Wamber.
Okay.
Amber, I want to turn to you. Dustin was your best friend in the house. Do you think it's going to feel empty there without him?
Sorry, guys. Yeah, it's going to be awkward and empty in the house with not having him. But, you know, we had some great times together. And, you know, everything happens for a reason. And this is a game. And I have to keep that in mind that, you know.
All right. Thank you, house guests. Have a good night, everybody.
And she's still crying, and she just cuts off and leaves. Bye. I mean, I think a big part of it is it's like literally a time constraint, and like Julie Chen like really dropped the ball on this, going to the person who's gonna cry to give her, who's obviously not gonna give her a really quick answer. So she just has to like abandon her. But it's funny because it's Wamber, and everyone else is thinking like, okay, yeah, she's like, shut up. Like, everyone's thinking, good for you.
Oh my goodness, that is great. That is so much fun.
I want to hear the end of that one more time of her cut her off.
Okay.
And that, you know.
All right. Thank you, house guests. Have a good night, everybody.
And if you watch it, Amber's in like such shock. She doesn't know what to do. That's after the big upset of Dustin's blindside. Eric having to jump ship there. Amber's a wreck here. So let's check in her just really quickly and say how are you gonna feel that Dustin's gone, and she starts crying hysterically. So Julie Chen gets out of that one really fast.
Oh man, that is so great. Amazing by Julie Chen there. And I now, Paul, we know if we have to go to counseling or to therapy, not to go see Julie Chen, because she won't give us the time of day.
She's like, like the kids say, like, ain't nobody got time for that, or something like that. It's kind of her motto. Yes. But I think Amber is like one of the most underrated like characters on Big Brother. The editors had so much fun with her that season. There are so many great Wamber montages. They do a great montage of her not knowing what words are. And she said, you know, she'll say things like, what's a sub-alliance? She's like, what's integrity? What is that? She just is saying it all the time. Like, just like all these words that are like, that everyone is like, I'd be surprised. I think Dick says, I'd be surprised if her daughter knew, like if she knew more words than her daughter, her like 7-year-old daughter or something. And then the editors are very mean to her, but sometimes she asks for it. And there's a whole clip where she's talking to Jameek about how she wants to go on America's Next Top Model.
Oh,
and
no.
The editors just tear her apart. I mean, it is very mean spirited, but it's like so funny because Jameek is like, yeah, I could see you on the cover of a magazine. And then she's like, kind of acting like she's like blowing her hair back, and they like freeze the frame with this horrible like shot of her. she's like, and then they cut to her talking about wanting to be a model as she's crying. And she's like, yeah, and I just think I have like a really good outgoing personality. Cut to a clip of her like shoving a candy bar in her face. Like they're just so mean about the whole thing. But Wamber's just fantastic. Oh, another great Wamber moment. This is turning into just a Wamber love fest. I love when Wamber decides she's going to make a deal with Danny Donato. And Danny's like, she tells Jamaica, I'm going to go make a deal with Danny, but Jamaica's like, you know, don't promise too much. Like, I'm not going to promise like anything more than what's like necessary up there. So she goes up there and then ends up like just like giving up all the stuff that Danny didn't even ask for. She like tells her that she's like, well, she's like, if you take me off the block, like I'll never put you out in this game. She's like, okay, good. She's like, and you know, I will, I'll vote out whoever you want me to vote out. And then Danny's like, well, you wouldn't vote out Jamaica. And Amber's like, well, I just keep going. It goes ding, 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 ding. All the things that she agrees to do. So I think Amber is fantastically a train wreck.
There's one moment with Amber where she's crying in the diary room. And she says, she's like talking to God. Like she's talking to God and she's crying. And she's like, this is so bad, God. Like, can you just help me? Like, I need help. And God, like, just help me. And thank you so much. And God bless you, God.
Yes, God bless you, God. And you know, the producers there are eating this up. They're like, could you tell us another prayer right now? Like, it just say it out loud, like, so we can all hear it. Like, can you talk to God right now? Like, yeah, just like that.
Oh my god. Oh man, poor Amber, poor Wamber. She's had a rough go, I think, post show. I don't know. I should ask Eric what she's up to. Like, I don't even know. I think she kind of just fell off the grid.
I have no idea. It was kind of almost as if if life just kind of told her
that, you know.
All right, thank you, house guests. Have a good night, everybody.
Thanks, Amber. Have a good life.
Oh no. Poor Wamber, if you're out there, we hope you're okay, and we love you. Paul and I love you. But that's right. It.
God bless you, Wamber. God bless you, God.
Yes. God bless you, God, everyone. Okay. Paul, we flew through this list. Here we go. Number one on the list. I am very curious as to where you're going with this.
Yes.
So please let us know, what is the funniest Julie Chen moment of all time in your opinion?
I'm surprised this is not like a thing that people talk about. At least I'm not as involved with the Big Brother community online as I am the Survivor community. So maybe this is something that's talked about. I think this just encapsulates Julie Chen. I want to play it first and then talk about it, because this is Julie Chen. Let's go to Big Brother 13. Evil Dick has just left the house. They get to the live show and they say Evil Dick actually has a message that he would like to play to all the house guests. Let's play that message, and then let's talk to you, Danielle.
Danielle, you know your father is watching right now. Is there anything you would like to say to him?
I don't know. You come in this house. Oh, I swear I wouldn't cry. You come in this house, and you kind of, I didn't really know what to expect, and then they throw a twist at me, and then D'Annunzio, you get thrown another twist, and you kind of just have to roll with the punches. The hardest part is for people to remember that this part's not Big Brother. This is real life, and that's what makes it the hardest. So, I don't know. Just hanging in there.
No, I love you.
Oh my gosh, that's so awkward. Well, obviously I do love my father. He's my biological father and brought me here, but I mean,
okay.
Oh, this is so awkward. But yeah, okay. I mean,
I will let you off the hook.
Literally, Danielle has to sit there and say, oh my god, this is so awkward. Let's just listen to this long pause and listen to Julie say this line again. Listen to this.
No, I love you.
No, I love you for your father.
Oh my goodness.
My brother puts his best. He says, of anyone on that TV at that moment who should understand the story of Dick and Danielle, the estranged father and daughter who show up on BB8 not talking, work through their problems, have all these emotional moments of trying to patch things up. They somehow make it to the end of the game. It's the two of them. They're reunited. All is great. They come back for Big Brother 13. And it's worse than it ever was. And America is just heartbroken to see that they cannot, you know, that they're back to where we started with all this. And then you're going to ask Danielle why she didn't say, I love you, to her dad.
Unbelievable. Julie Chen. And it's funny, Julie of all people calling someone out for like not saying I love you, because I feel like Julie is so cold herself.
All the time, I'm sure she says, I love you.
I love you, Les.
Maybe it was that little jealousy, but I don't know. It's just, it's so Julie in the fact that it's like just like an awkward moment. You have someone telling that her to her face that it's awkward. She's not picking up on any of the cues of it. And it's just like so monumental that it's the Dick and Danielle storyline that she's addressing this with. So I just think the "No, I love you" clip just sums up who Julie Chen is as a host. Just when you think she's got it, just okay, Big Brother 13. She's gone on David Letterman. She's like, she's got everyone hooked on the show. And then this is what she does on Live Eviction number one.
Crazy. I mean, Alex Kidwell accuses me of throwing him under the bus, Paul, but I've never put him through anything quite like that.
That's how embarrassing. I think that once Danielle goes to vote, she says, and obviously I do love my father. Like, sitting there, she realizes, okay, I have to go on and say this because maybe there's going to be America's Player again this season and I can't get totally screwed. So she has to go on and say that afterwards. But I mean, you wouldn't say that to anyone. You wouldn't be like, if someone said, if it was not them, if it was someone else that had a message or something, like the host would not tell, like, "No, I love you." You're not going to say "I love you" to so-and-so. And then of all people to say it to say it to Danielle Donato about her dad?
Yeah, it's
Julie.
It's crazy.
Julie.
It's crazy. And then the other thing, too, is like with what Danielle said, it's not like she said anything bad about her dad.
No,
it was just like she was just describing her situation and she was emotional. And, I think it was fine at that. But Julie just pushed to the envelope even further.
No, Chenbot was not a... not complete or not satisfied with that.
No, she was not. So,
do you think Julie Chen would be good at the game?
Oh man, would Julie be good at the game? I mean, well, I think for me, now that I've played it, Paul, I think the most important aspect of playing Big Brother is the social game. I think that is incredibly important. Getting
well,
to know people.
She's got it.
See, I think Julie is one of these game bots that would go in thinking they know the game and they know everything and all the moves and all this stuff. But she would go in, she'd have no social game at all. Nobody would be her friend. She wouldn't know anything about anyone. And she'd be like second out.
Well, she did say that one time. I think she said she would play the game somewhere in between a Janelle and a Dr. Will. I think is what she said at one point. And she actually went on Big Brother. I remember they were really pushing this Big Brother around Big Brother 13, I think it was. She went into the house with her co-host from The Talk. Do you remember seeing this ever?
No, I never saw this.
So there was this they did a couple days series where they played 1 week of Big Brother in it. And Julie Chen, no surprise, gets nominated week one. And this is what she has to say when she is nominated by, I can't remember which co-host it was, not Sharon Osbourne.
If there's one thing I know, Julie Chen is not going down in this game. Julie Chen, this is the house that Julie Chen built.
Whoa.
Julie Chen built the house. She's not going down.
Wow, that's wild.
Yeah. she was evicted week one.
Unbelievable. Well, that does not surprise me in the slightest. Julie is just, like I said, the social game, Paul. It's clearly, as we've seen from these 15 clips and the jealousy moment, like she does not have the social game yet. She might get it. She might in time, but not yet.
Well, thank God. God bless you, God, for bringing us Julie Chen in the form of a host, so we get her every single season, expecting the unexpected, whether or not she's expecting or not.
Yes.
Right. Every single season we get her, and she never fails to deliver. I think you just have to watch with the right lens, because I think if you just discount her, as maybe some people you podcast with do, and don't even think of her as an entity, she can easily just kind of be forgotten. But I think if you really watch what Julie Chen's doing, she's amazing to watch. I think she adds a really, really, really fun, awkward dynamic to it. And those live shows are important. Like, for unless you're just someone who, like, this, you know, I think Brent always makes this point on your show about this being a TV show, like number one, before being a game. I think it's important that on eviction nights that we get a host visible. We get one who's going to make us laugh, who's going to be funny, who's going to be awkward. All these things that has become Big Brother US.
Yeah, I think you're totally right. I mean, Julie is she said it. This is the house Julie built. I mean, there's a lot of Big Brother that wouldn't be the same without Julie. As much as she gets flack and stuff, I've really grown. I think a lot of the fans have as well. I think I've really grown to love Julie for who she is. She does a good job. Yes, she's awkward and strange or whatever, but she's our awkward and robotic yes. host. She's our hosts, you know? So I think that's why we can buy into Julie so much. If she came in, like, for example, if she – Jeff Probst hosted Big Brother and then, like, you know, after 18 seasons in an OTT season, then Julie Chen came in and was doing all her stuff, it would be a complete flop right. and she'd do terrible. But disaster. But because she's been doing it since day one, I think that everybody just has grown to love Julie, and she's good at what she does.
Another fun game to do is, like, to especially in the kind of those middle seasons there, is to categorize, like, sum up her outfit in one word. We'd always call it sexy something. She'd be like sexy witch, sexy pirate, sexy sailor, sexy teacher, or whatever it was. She always was trying to convey something, or sexy hippie.
Well, when she was pregnant too, she had all yeah. these crazy outfits.
Yeah, she really, I mean, she's gone nuts. So with it. I'm not the right person to really do a deep dive into Julie Chen's wardrobe, but she really has gone through a lot of different styles, on the show as well.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Maybe.
But at her core, it's the same. Just, just like Will of Big Brother 2, you take off what's on top and underneath it's just circuitry and wires. Same thing with Julie Chen. Doesn't matter how much glitter you put on, how tan you make her, how you do her hair, what dress you put on her, she is still going to be our Chen bot.
Always and forever, Paul. And if you want to see some good Julie Chen fashion, I just did a quick search on Google of Julie Chen wardrobe. I don't know if you remember, during season 11, she had this this like purple, it looks like a blanket she's wearing.
Sexy snuggie.
It kind of looks like a sexy snuggie is kind of what it is. I recommend you. It's like, yeah, it's very it's very questionable, the choice. This is when she was pregnant, so we'll give her a break, but even so, it's quite fascinating, this choice and some of her other choices. Paul, this has been so much fun. I can't wait to hear what everybody thinks in the comments. Where can if people want to get in touch with you or follow what you are doing, where can they find you?
You can find me on Twitter. I tweet every now and then. I definitely like to tweet when Julie Chen does stuff, but you can follow me on Twitter. I'm at Paul Oselson. It's just my name, PaulAselson. You can also Google the Survivor Historians. We come up on Mario Lanza's Funny 115 page, or you could also listen to the historians on the Tribe's iTunes feed, which is you can find at survivorpodcast.com.
All right, there you go. Yeah, I highly recommend you check those out if you are a Survivor fan, especially Survivor Historians. If you are a longtime Survivor fan, it's really fun going through and listening to, hearing Paul and Mike Bloom and Mario and Jay all talk about the older seasons of Survivor and what was happening during the time. So it's a really, really fun podcast if you don't already check that out. Just to let you guys know listening, I want to get just a quick announcement from me. It is the holiday season. I know that it's a bit of a busy time for people. People spending money on gifts and other things for people for Christmas and other stuff. But I just want to let you guys know I am raising money for breast cancer research through Michelle's Place again, which is something that I did last year. So I just want to let you guys know that I am raising money for that. My goal is to raise $500. So far I've already got a few donations, so that's awesome. And for everybody who donates, if you are interested, I'll chat to you for 1 minute per every dollar you donate. So if you donate $60, I'll talk to you for an hour on Skype. We can talk about whatever you want. Doesn't matter if you want to talk about Julie Chen moments, you want to talk about her wardrobe, you want to talk about Survivor Historians. Paul, I don't know if
worth
you have suggestions.
Worth every penny to right? talk about Julie Chen with Jordan.
Yes.
Worth
So if you want to do that, if you want to talk about Julie Chen with me, you can go to my Twitter page. I'm at Jordan Parhar. There's a tweet that I've pinned to the top of my profile. You can click that link to donate. And again, so it's for every $1. So if you want to do an hour, we can do that. If you want to go 30 minutes, you can donate $30. Whatever works for you, and totally understandable if now is not a good time. And if you want to in the new year, I'll be doing it through, I believe, the end of February is how long I'll be going for. So check that out. If that's something you're interested in, it's going to a really good cause, and it's going to help a lot of really great people. So thank you to everybody for tuning into this edition of the Rehappy Hour. Paul, it's been a blast having you on, my man. What do you want to use for the hashtag?
Oh, I was thinking about this. I mean, we said the God bless you God so much, but that's not even a Julie Chen quote. I feel like it's kind of undermining to Julie Chen to not have it. Yes. Jin said. What made you laugh the most about Julie Chen?
Oh, man. Yeah, see, I was also...
We can't do the knife.
No? Okay, that's where I was
hashtag put the knife back in its drawer. Hashtag they kissed again.
Hashtag they kissed again. I think we can do that.
You have to kind of read it in the Julie Chen voice.
Hashtag they kissed again. Okay, so... So we'll go with that for the hashtag. And if you prefer, we can go with hashtag God bless you God as well. Tweet Paul, tweet myself. Let us know what you thought of this podcast. Let us know what you think is the funniest Julie Chen moment of all time. Definitely looking forward to checking out your comments on robezawebsite.com and seeing what you guys have to say. And just a programming note for you. We've got a podcast coming up on, I believe it's going to be Tuesday, December 27th. The LFC and I will be back again. We're going to be ranking some of the best things of the year for Big Brother in North America. So we're going to be talking about the best winners, some of the best players, best seasons across of the three North American Big Brother seasons. We might have some other categories. We're going to have to wait and see on that. But it's going to be the first time that we get myself with Brent, Taryn, Alex, and Melissa all in the same podcast. So should be a lot of fun, and I'm really looking forward to that. And as Paul mentioned, we've got some other podcasts as well that just came out. We've got a 90 Day Fiancé recap I did with Haley Strong, which was a lot of fun, and also a Batman and Robin recap with the aforementioned Mike Bloom. So definitely, there's lots of stuff going on with the Rehappy Hour right now. Definitely check all that stuff out. robezawebsite.com/Rehappy Hour if you want to subscribe. Okay, guys, that is going to do it for this edition of the podcast. Big thank you to Paul. We will see you next time. For Paul Oselson, I'm Jordan Parhar. Hashtag, and Paul, I already forgot when we... Oh, hashtag, what was it? I already forgot.
They kissed again.
See, I just think God bless you, God. But yes, hashtag, they kissed again.
Hold on, Jordan. No, I love you? Are you really going to end this podcast without I love you? Jordan Boo? I thought that was a perfection.
This is so awkward, Paul. This is so awkward.
This is awkward. End this thing.
Paul, obviously, we've been doing this podcast together. So obviously, I love you. I just don't know if I can say the words I love you live.
Okay.
But, anyway, good for you. Hashtag they kissed again. We'll talk to you soon. Take care.
Reality TV, we're happy hour. Reality TV, we're happy hour.
The theme song of the Reality TV Rehappy Hour is written and performed by Ryan Elder. Check out more of his work at ryanelder.music.com.